Sundays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Ukraine has accepted a U.S. proposal for an immediate 30-day ceasefire, but CBS's Sam Vinograd says
this is a significant step, but getting Putin on board in a meaningful way is going to be quite difficult.
In turn, the U.S. has agreed to lift restrictions on military aid and intelligence sharing. Ahead of a Friday deadline, lawmakers were able to kick the can down the road again.
The yeas are 217, the nays are 213. The bill is passed without objection. The motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
The House passed a bill to keep the government funded through September. So much back and forth on tariffs has Americans and businesses fearing a recession. While President Trump says he's not concerned, economist Diane Swonk is.
We absolutely should be concerned about a recession because all of this is occurring at the same time that we're also seeing government spending being cut.
25% tariffs on steel and aluminum on Canada kick in tomorrow. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, we'll spend part one with our friends, Family Natural Foods, and in part two, Encourage with Kim Shields. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. UW system leaders say the Trump administration's cuts to research funding will impact their efforts to find cures for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and many more initiatives. Savannah Tolme Olson has the story.
Wisconsin currently gets about $653 million in research funding from the National Institutes of Health. Just one example of what these researchers are working on. Professor Sterling Johnson is leading a study to help diagnose Alzheimer's disease years before people even have symptoms and ways to slow disease progression.
The Alzheimer's Center is providing a lot of the glue. It's helping us train the next generation of scientists who will be facing the future iterations of this disease.
Sigrid Canuti has been participating in that research at UW for 20 years.
I'm in the study because I'm a woman, and therefore I have a 50% chance, higher rate of having Alzheimer's than a man. I'm also in it because I'm a daughter of someone who had Alzheimer's, which increases my risk. I have had cognitive tests, MRIs, PET scans, spinal taps, and even an endurance test on a treadmill. I really feel like I've been honored to be a part of this. It's so big, it's so important, and it's very hopeful.
On top of that, UW System President Jay Rothman says these research cuts will harm Wisconsin's economy. Advocates say biomedical research and tech companies come to Madison because of the sophisticated research and the highly skilled researchers coming out of UW. Wisconsin is part of a lawsuit against the Trump administration fighting these cuts. Last week, a judge put the administration's plans on hold a second time, but that's only temporary. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers tonight. But the Bucks organization shocked and saddened at the news that Junior Bridgman has passed away. Bridgman played for the Bucks from 1975 to 1984, then later became a successful businessman, sitting on several boards of directors and growing his own business to over 100 restaurants, Wendy's and Chili's, many in southeastern Wisconsin. Last fall, Bridgman was included as a partner in the ownership of the Bucks.
10, 12 years ago, when there was rumors of the team possibly going to this city or that city, I said that cannot happen. The people here deserve to have a team. They've supported a team even when those years when we weren't very good. They support them now. Why would you move the team from here?
Bridgman at an event today in his home city of Louisville, Kentucky, when his witness grabbed his chest and commented he might be having a heart attack. Rescuers unable to save him. Junior Bridgman was 71 years old. With sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer, highs in the mid-50s, and up into the low 60s, and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday, with showers and storms late and breezy. Right now, it's 48.
The excitement.
Oh, he's stoned! Zinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers and
is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up Wednesday morning, a preview of our live Supreme Court event, the stakes of the election in terms of education, reproductive rights, and the economy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are broadcasting the show live from Madison tonight, statewide, all over our beautiful state of Wisconsin. Hope you had a great day, whatever you chose to do today, whether it was work, play hooky, rob a liquor store. I just hope it was a great day, and I'm glad you're with us tonight, where we can kick back, talk about some of the more fun things in life. Got a good show tonight. No music, Conrad. This is the first time I think I haven't done music when I've been at Madison. There's so many great musicians here.
Yeah.
But we've got talkers tonight, and that'll be fun, too. Tim Sowers will be here at 6:35 talking about, he's the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer at the Overture Center, which is right across the street. I can see it from here, which is always fun, a beautiful facility. Tim joins us every once in a while and gives us an update on what is happening in the many theaters at the Overture Center, just a stunning, beautiful facility. And he will tell us what's coming up. I want to ask him about, there's a really cool Neil Diamond show. And I'm going to ask Tim about that. That's one I think I'll probably go see. That's at 6:35. He'll be here in person, which is fun. And then at 7:05, comedian Frank Roach. He is an impressionist. And I think Frank lives in Wisconsin. I've never met Frank. He's a referral from Mike Mercury, who's been on the show several times. So I'm looking forward to meeting Frank at 7:05. He's gonna phone it in, Conrad, but that doesn't mean he's not going to try. He's going to be on the telephone.
Yeah.
Do you call it a telephone, or you just say phone? You've probably never even used the word telephone in your life.
I use the word phone.
Phone.
Yeah.
Most people don't say telephone. Where's my cellular telephone? I've never heard that.
You're dating yourself there.
Well, I've never heard it. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, I've heard telephone. We had a rotary dial when I was growing up. I don't go as far back as Pony Express.
Are you sure?
We had a rotary dial. That's cute. I don't think I can't whip your ass because I'm in Madison, buddy. You had a long distance ass whipping?
I can't say I have.
You're holding down the fort. When does gelato start again? It's nice there now, right?
It is, but it's still, you know what it is still?
Sad gelato. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. I wept openly when I went there in the fall and realized there was no more gelato. Thus, the sad gelato music that we put together there. Also, folks, we're going to talk a little film festival talk and movie making with a director from here in southern Wisconsin. I think Jeff actually lives in Baraboo, but he is coming into the studio here. I call him a Madison-based director, but he is also the founder of the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. So we'll talk. I think that's so cool. They put the focus on mental health. The films, I believe, thematically involve mental health, and they have mental health speakers there. And let's be honest, most movie makers, as well as most people in society, have one mental health issue or another, whether serious or not so serious. We all deal with it. So it's a great event, and we'll talk to Jeff about that at 7:35. He'll be here in the studio. And this is the season for film festivals. The Green Bay Film Festival is this weekend. And we've had Nick Watier on, who has talked about Nathan Demme's film, February, is in the Green Bay Film Festival. Dan Davies, who was on the show last night, will be at the Green Bay Film Festival with one of his films. And then the tribute to the giant spider invasion, the 50th anniversary. So, and then the granddaddy of them all, that's what I call it, just because it's in Madison, the Wisconsin Film Festival is April 3rd. And that is always an absolute blast, too. I mean, talk about if you just want to lose yourself in films for a week, that's the one to do it, folks. 150 films to choose from. Great venues, really fun events, Q&As, everything. That all takes place here in Madison, April 3rd. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as that gets closer, too. But tonight, it'll be good to have Jeff here. We'll talk about the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. Let me make sure I'm saying that right. And it's not the mental health. Yeah. Mental health. Am I saying that? I did it right. I have it somewhere. I'm a mess. I'm at my home court, Conrad, and it feels weird.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, what are you looking at? You're looking at an empty chair.
Well, there's about three kegs over on that side now.
Of course there are. Doing shots. Chris Casper sent a picture of his dog. When I got here today, he was telling me about this dog, and I thought it sounded really kind of mean-looking, and it had kind of a tough-sounding name. I said, let me guess. It can be mean if it has to, or it looks like a pit bull, so people will keep their distance, but it's a big sweetie. And he said, yeah. And then he said, she's 80 pounds, and he sent a picture. And I don't think this dog would scare anybody. It's like the cutest thing ever. And I'm not a dog guy. I'm not an animal in the house guy. We've covered that, right?
I don't know if we have.
Well, no offense to Chris. I find the idea of an animal in the house kind of strange. Animals should be outside. I know it's commonplace here in modern day America to have a dog or cat in the house. We had a bearded dragon for a while. But I say that because I'm mostly envious because I love dogs so much, but I'm allergic to dogs and cats, and I can't have one. So I'm kind of envious of everybody who can. So that's how I make my argument. Animals should not be in the house. Great dog, Chris. Thank you for sending that photo. Conrad, did you get this picture?
I don't think I did.
I'll send it to you. You should put it in your wallet.
Okay.
It's a great way to meet girls. You go to a bar, you whip out a picture of your dog. It's not code. Your not actual dog, no. Canine. No, but it doesn't matter. You can use Chris's dog to help you find girls. I think he would want that for you.
This is my coworker's dog.
How pathetic is that? That's hilarious. But you never know. It could work. She might think it's adorable. And it's like, he loves dogs so much, he carries around a picture of his coworker's dog. That's a big sweetie right there.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I think that could work. So fun show tonight. And that, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get to this. It's our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
If you had to be on a reality show, what show would it be? If you had to be on a reality show, what show would it be? My wife actually thought of this question because The Bachelor season 29 ends this month. And things are really heating up. I have trouble talking to her when she starts talking about The Bachelor. I'm like, I'm sorry, you need a girlfriend for this or another guy friend. Even if you want, get a boyfriend and tell him, I cannot listen to The Bachelor talk. But giver that I am on these radio airwaves, I know a lot of people do like The Bachelor. So if you had to be on a reality show, what would it be? I think I would pick, who did we have on the show? She was on Survivor. Andrea Belke.
Yep.
She was on Survivor like three times, I want to say. Which I think is kind of nuts. And she admitted as much when she was here. But I applaud her. She was a fan favorite, Conrad. A fan favorite on Survivor. That's no easy task. I think everybody would hate me. I'd be the guy always complaining. I just want my cell phone and a coffee shop and sunblock. Oh, man, they would so much. But I think I will say, oh man, reality show. Maybe what's the UFC one? Power Fighter? No, what is it called? The Ultimate Fighter. No.
The reality show for it?
Yeah, there's a reality UFC show.
I don't know what it's called.
The Ultimate Fighter.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I would do. I would go on The Ultimate Fighter, get knocked out immediately, and go home. Then I wouldn't have to go on Survivor and deal with bugs and no food. Although Survivor is a great way to keep the weight off. Yeah. You get thin, it's the Survivor diet.
You just eat leaves and bugs.
Eat leaves and bugs or nothing. That could be a delicacy. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. Maybe just like Big Brother. Aren't you just like in a house with other people? See, that I could handle.
Yeah, I think I'd go with MILF Manor.
Yeah, but wouldn't your dad have to be on the show with you?
No.
Isn't it Sons and Dads?
Oh, I guess I didn't think about that.
Yeah, nice work.
The first season is with it's with the mom who brings her son. And the second season is the dad who brings their son. So, you know, I retract that. I'm not going on MILF Manor.
You're welcome, Steve. And to call your boy's attention to that. I don't see that. The problem with that is like, well, there's a lot of problems, but that is definitely the weirdest, most awkward inducing show I think I've ever heard of.
And
a father and son hitting on the same girl.
The challenges make it worse.
Do you have to bed them?
They got like,
I'm dating myself with that phrase, but I love it.
They got like mud wrestling or like dancing or something.
Please tell me who mud wrestles. I want to know that. There's not like, God, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's
like, who comes up with that? That's what's really weird.
TLC does. TLC.
The Learning Channel.
Oh. I don't think they're
Thank you for the education. I would not have learned that fathers and sons routinely hit on women and try to win their hearts in a good old-fashioned mud wrestle. That's what the Learning Channel is teaching me. It used to be educative, didn't it?
The last time I looked at some of the stuff they have on there, because it's on Max now, it's only like...
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it's only like MILF Manor, like the one show where they date someone from across the country, 90 Day Fiancé. Like
90 Day Fiancé.
Like 800 spinoffs of it, too. And that's all I see of TLC.
90 days is too long. If you know, you know. Shouldn't take 90 days. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buck trend. And I'm going to say I'll go on The Bachelor. I want to be The Bachelor. I get to choose from, what, 20 women? I've been married forever. Honey, if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I would welcome this opportunity.
I got a
head. You're looking at me in shame.
I got a new one. American Ninja Warrior. I'll go on there, get eliminated right away, and then I'm done.
Yeah, and that'd be less painful than getting punched out on The Ultimate Fighter. All right, what reality show would you be on if you had to be on a reality show? I say The Bachelor. Conrad says MILF Manor. Let us know what you think. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Oh, we got a show tonight, folks. Coming to you live from Madison. Tim Sauer's coming up at 6:35. Up next, a really funny clip from Saturday Night Live you won't want to miss. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every time I'm with you, baby, can't believe it's true. When you lay in my arms, you do the things you
do. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
To everyone who needs a little delight in their day, let our team member Paul tell you about one of our favorite sweet treats.
Making special moments at mealtime is a tradition in Wisconsin. And what better way to sweeten your day than Culver's creamy, fresh frozen custard and your favorite mix-ins? We handcraft every concrete mixer exactly the way you like, from caramel and candy to real fruits and whole roasted nuts.
Come to Culver's and let us make your day a little bit sweeter.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
On the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, we're examining how the landmark protections that moved forward in the Voting Rights Act of 1965 are now being dismantled by the U.S. Supreme Court's far-right majority. Louisiana versus Calais may be the next blow. What started out as brazen racial gerrymandering in 2022 by the Louisiana legislature has devolved into a new tactic to undo more of the already weakened VRA. Lower courts ordered the legislature to draw new, fairer maps. After initial defiance, it drew two majority-minority congressional districts to allow concentrations of the state's 33% black population to elect the candidate of their choice. In 2024, a group of, quote, non-African-American voters appealed. They claim that the new districts are a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment and should be struck down. In 2023's striking down of affirmative action, Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas pointed to the Equal Protection Clause, as did Alito in his dissent in Alabama's Milligan racial gerrymandering decision. When oral arguments begin March 24th, all eyes will be on Justices Kavanaugh and Coney Barrett, who upheld the VRA Section 2 in the Alabama decision, but who also concurred with parts of Thomas's Equal Protection Clause dissent. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
I'm going to kick off this segment by saying, hello, Sherry from Horicon. You know, I know where Horicon is now because I drove from Green Bay last night to Madison and I passed a sign that said Horicon and I thought of Sherry.
I thought you were going to say you went through it. I'm like, that's a little detour.
No, I just saw the exit for it. It could have been like 300 miles in that direction. So I don't know exactly where it is, but hello, Sherry. I did think of you and I was off the air, Sherry. That's what I think of your friendship here with Nightlight. Thank you for the text. Good evening to you as well. Meredith from Madison says, the price is right. Well, is that a reality show? Sure. We can expand the game show. Yeah. Look, I'd rather be on a game show than a reality show. Maybe that's what we should. Conrad, take a memo. Next question is, what game show would you want to be on?
Have you ever heard of The Floor?
No.
It's the worst game show I've ever seen in my life.
Explain.
Two people stand across from each other, and then there's a big screen. And it's just pictures, and you just got to name what the picture is. That's it. And whoever can't do it first loses.
What kind of pictures are they?
I saw one. It was like horse, banana, orange, ketchup.
We are getting so dumb as a society. That's insane. Meredith also says, say yes to the dress. That must be an inside Price is Right joke because I don't get that.
Or maybe that's a reality show where
maybe
a person helps get a dress.
Has to wear a dress they don't want to wear.
They have to wear it.
Oh, the humanity. Ed from Madison says, I would be on Queer Eye. I'm a mess. I need all the help I can get. Oh, the funniest part of that. I'm a mess. Ed says he'd be on Queer Eye. He's a mess, and he needs all the help he can get. I forgot about that one. Is that still on?
I'll go to the Google.
Go to the Google and see what you can find out on that one. Jameson from Pennsylvania, that's the 814, says, I think this is abbreviated, but he says, Hell's Kitchen Chopped or one of the culinary ones would be a blast. Have fun, cook food, way less drama than the other ones. I've been a chef and no, I'll lose, but as they say, there's no bad publicity.
Well, good point.
Something you make kills someone, Jameson. That would be terrible. That might put you out of business. So you're a chef, but with that kind of attitude, Jameson, I would think you'd have a shot. Like, are most of those food shows, are they all like really good chefs or are they aspiring chefs? I don't really watch them.
I say it's a mix of like both.
Okay.
I tried watching Hell's Kitchen for like a whole season once and it just got repetitive. Just one chef freaking out every episode and then Gordon Ramsay just absolutely yelling at him.
Okay. See, that's the thing too. You have to be a persona that people like to watch or are interested in somehow. So I don't think you have to cook Jameson or make stuff that's really good. Maybe you just have to not kill someone with your cooking. All right, so keep those texts coming, folks. This is in honor of The Bachelor. I said I'd be on The Bachelor just because I think it would be hilarious that women are clamoring for my attention. Because when does that ever happen, right? But these schmucks that they parade through on The Bachelor have these women that want to be their wives. I don't understand. And they don't really want to. They want, you know, they want to go on there. They want the notoriety. They want to build a brand. I get that.
Do they get money, too, if they win?
That I don't know. I assume that they get scale or they have to join some kind of union, or maybe not, because reality TV has found a way to circumvent the whole rules thing. But I don't know. Anna from Madison says, "Yes to Dress is a show about a bride-to-be choosing a bridal gown. The show is filmed in a bridal salon in NYC. I'd rather watch Bridesmaids." That was really funny.
I'm pretty sure there is a movie called Say Yes to the Dress, too.
The movie version of a reality show? Yawn.
I don't know if it's a... I don't know.
Yes to Dress. I can see that. So Anna, but what I guess Anna is saying, she'd want to be on Yes to Dress too, or she's just correcting or explaining what it is. Yes to the Dress. Say Yes to the Dress. Okay. Whew. After a roaring start here. Here's the thing. I asked the question because my wife suggested it, and I don't know any of the shows because I don't watch reality TV show. That's an oversight on my part. But I would say The Bachelor. Conrad said MILF Manor.
But
I think you'd be so freaked out you'd pull like a Tanya Harding on your dad and knock him off at the kneecap so he couldn't be on the show with you.
And we'd be on there for 1 minute and I'd say, "Dad, it's time to leave. Let's go."
Oh, that's hilarious. All right. So last weekend, Mike Myers appeared on Saturday Night Live, I think for the second week in a row. Do we have time for this?
We do not.
Oh, come on. Really?
It's a long clip.
Here I am. Okay, here's why I don't like reality TV, because I don't watch it. I asked a question. Now I'm sucked into the conversation, and it pulled me away from actual brilliant sketch comedy. But our question tonight, folks, is if you had to be on a reality show, what would it be? Let us know. The Bachelor season 29.
That show's older than me.
I was just going to say that. Like, there are people that could be on that show that weren't even born when it started. This is a big day for movie releases, too. Not a big day, but over the course of the last 15, 16 years, actually, I would go back to 1988 because that's when Stand and Deliver dropped. Edward James Olmos and Lou Diamond Phillips. And that kind of put, I can't remember if that was what put Lou Diamond Phillips on the map or if it was La Bamba. I can't remember which came first. Also, Everything Everywhere, All at Once. That was the one movie I didn't see that Oscar year. So I still haven't seen that film. And Battle Los Angeles came out in 2011. Now stick with me. Battle Los Angeles is about a group of Marines who take on aliens that invade Los Angeles. Yeah, it sounds terrible. But it's surprisingly watchable. I've seen it twice. It's a great movie to watch if you're hanging out with like dudes. Aaron Eckhart is in it. He's great. And they kind of make it realistic. Civic Media News coming up next, folks. They're going to tell you what you need to know. And then we're going to be back with Tim Sowers from the Overture Center, who's going to tell us what's coming up. You won't want to miss that. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight coming to you live from Madison tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. At a meeting in Stevens Point last night, the possibility of adding a staffing position of a city administrator was discussed during a committee meeting. Civic Media's Derek Tritz reports.
After backlash from the community and a guest appearance from the mayor of Superior, Wisconsin, Stevens Point will not be moving forward with plans to create a city administrator position. A personnel committee meeting was held Monday night for discussion and possible action on a city administrator role. Public input opened with Superior Mayor Jim Payne's own experience with how his residents took to a similar proposition.
During the whole conversation, the public was really furious about this, the idea of reducing their mayor, whoever that may be, to a part-time status, to not work full-time in their interest, was really offensive to the people of Superior. That referendum failed 70 to 30. It was actually a little more than 70 to 30.
Many city administrator and mayor combinations result in a reduction of the mayoral role, but this is not a prerequisite for the position and was not outlined in this meeting's memo. Payne's comments were echoed by many of the community members in attendance. A few even expressed their disagreements with the current mayor of Stevens Point, Mike Wiesa, but agreed that they did not want to weaken the mayoral role or put more of their money towards a city administrator. And there were also those who expressed support for the role despite not taking action during the meeting, like alderperson Laura Broderick.
I don't think this is a change that we should go ahead with if we don't have support from all parties involved. And it is very clear that this has been portrayed in such a way that I don't believe that that's possible right now. And that is a shame, because I do believe that this can be an incredibly effective model of government.
While there was no action taken on the city administrator role this time, there is still a possibility that the subject will be brought up again at a later date.
You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. New releases in theaters this past weekend all seemed to limp to the finish line for different reasons. Acclaimed director Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17, did finish first at the box office with $19 million, but that was a bit of a disappointment. The film starring Robert Pattinson cost almost $120 million to make and is not expected to recoup. This was the director's first big studio budget after winning a Best Director Oscar for Parasite 5 years ago. The other new releases were Rule Breakers, which got excellent reviews from critics and even better from audiences, but brought in just $1.5 million at the box office on over 2,000 screens. In The Lost Lands, starring Mila Jovovich and David Bautista, stunk up theaters with barely over $1 million at the gate and terrible reviews. Captain America managed to hang on to the number two slot, followed by Last Breath, The Monkey, and Paddington in Peru, which finished in fifth place. Tough week. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer. Highs in the mid-50s and up into the low 60s and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday with showers and storms late and breezy. Right now, it's 48.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
What do you think about Donald Trump firing 80,000 employees of the VA? Steve from Madison, also a veteran. I'm hearing from one of our conservative texters saying it's okay because it saves money.
How does it save money if it kills people? I mean, how many suicides are there amongst veterans? How many of our seniors need health care? I mean, you take away money from us and it kills us. That's what it does.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Conrad, were you doing the Fonz?
this?
Or were you telling me it's okay to start talking?
I was telling you it's okay, but I can do the fonts too.
Get out your cellular telephone and make the call. Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. This is exciting tonight because I got a director coming in studio. Comedy at 7:05, but right now I'm meeting in person. If you're watching on the stream, you can see Mr. Tim Sowers, who is the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer of the Overture Center, which is right across the street here in Madison. Tim's been on the show several times, but this is the first time I've had him in the studio, and it just worked out this time. So it's great to have you, buddy.
It is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to be across the street.
I agree.
I just walked across the street.
Do you have this view from your office of State Street? Or
I actually, my office view is of the Orpheum.
Oh, that's pretty
so
good, too.
Centers my window.
Another arrival theater.
I know, but it's a good one.
It's a good,
old theater.
You could do a lot worse.
Yeah, that's right.
Good to have you here, Tim. Let's jump right in because, first of all, I have to ask you, this is exciting. Conrad, you're going to get a kick out of this. Let's see, maybe he's left. Okay. I thought you took a powder. Our question of the night is, if you had to be on a reality show, what reality show would it be? And we're doing this at the suggestion of my wife. Subject I know nothing about, but our guest, Tim Sowers, says he has an answer. Tim, please.
I do have an answer. I was on a reality show.
I can't believe it.
Very briefly. So it was, I don't know how many years ago. There was a summer. It lasted one season. It was called American Inventor. And people had inventors, and it was almost like
I kind of think I remember
it was
that.
Almost like the beginning of Shark Tank.
Okay.
So people... The idea of the show was is people would have a prototype and then there'd be one winner that they would then mass produce their.
And
so anyhow, so I was working in Chicago and one of my colleagues, she was so tired of lived out in the suburbs, put up, it was around the holidays. She was putting up her holidays lights and no one would ever help her. So she invented this plug system where she could hook these pieces together, stick her lights out the window, and clip it to the spouting. So she could do it all herself. And she was a visual artist. So, and she had these locks, like this section would lock into this section. And I said, oh, you should go on American Inventor. I just saw they had auditions. And she goes, what's that? And I said, oh, I don't know, some show. And she looked it up and she says, oh, there's one more audition left. And it's in Washington, D.C., and she goes, go with me. And I said, all right. Right? Because she's not.
Well, you're a pal.
She wasn't a talker.
Okay.
Right? She's a visual artist and she was doing marketing and whatever. So I said, yeah, I'll go. And so we worked up our little pitch. So we're in this room and she starts talking about her product. And I start kind of taking it over to talk about it. And we had 5 minutes. That's the time we were allotted. But as we kept talking, more and more people kept coming into the room. And all of a sudden, we were there for over an hour talking about this product. And the producers came into our room in our little conference room we were in. And then they said, we would like you to get on the show. This is our final day of auditions. We have not selected any other double. It's all been solo people. But we love the way that you... answer all her questions for stuff. And we're like, okay.
And so, she was okay with it too?
Yeah, she was great with it, right? And so we were going to go to Hollywood for the auditions. And if you remember back in those days, because it was like early American Idol and stuff, we used to have those audition episodes. And they used to make fun of people. Right. And all that kind of stuff. So anyhow, so by the time that we got selected, by the time we went out to LA, was maybe a month. And this was, we had computers and stuff, but they were calling us constantly and telling us and pitching us on how to really pitch our, they were really going with
coaching
us.
Coaching you almost.
Coaching, that's the right word. They were coaching us on it. And I remember, I remember getting the contract. I still have it. And it was like this thick. For anybody watching, is like this thing.
No one's reading that.
But there was a paragraph in there that said, we have the right to ridicule you, to put you in a negative light, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They weren't going to do that to us because the way that they were. So we get out to LA and I said to my friend, you better get this registered, get a patent for this or not a patent, copyright, but a copyright for it. So her cousin was a lawyer who did that out in L.A. And they must have changed the scope of the show by the time that we auditioned to what they were going to do. Because everybody they selected for the show already had final products and they were all being pitched on various networks.
Hmm.
And lots of freaks. They brought in a lot of freaky people to like ridicule them. And my friend's lawyer was the lawyer for the show. And he said, I have all their finalists and you're not one of them. So I was like, why did they spend all this time with us, fly us out to not, because we're not part of the ridicule piece.
Right.
And then when we went to do our audition with the judges in this this big warehouse and this little tiny set, we had a whole new pitch. But they were going off an old pitch and asking us questions. And I started to go, we didn't talk about that. Why'd you bring that up? And they quickly pushed us aside. But in the opening episode of the show, we're there. So was kind of fun.
What happened with the invention? That's a neat.
I know it. She has. I told her to go on Shark Tank with that. That's a Shark Tank. They'll buy it.
Holiday
it's
stuff.
Still
especially.
Good.
Yeah.
Right. But she's not. She hasn't done anything.
That was your. That was but your brush with reality fame.
So reality TV.
Do you watch reality TV?
I like Survivor. Okay. I watched that. I haven't watched it recently. I don't know. They're. I like reality cooking shows.
People love those, yeah.
Like the Gordon Ramsay's Next Level Chef or Master Chef. Like, I like watching those kind of competitions. But I think it would be most interesting to just be behind the scenes and see how they really stuff. What they really do. Does it really an hour to cook that, or is it more like four?
Well, that's what a friend of mine used to do that, who was a comedian. Remember the Magic Bullet? Those infomercials, they're all acting like it's the next morning after a party and the couple's making the food. And he's hey, that's great, but I don't have a bunch of bowls of chopped up crap already in my kitchen. It doesn't take 5 minutes. Probably takes an hour, hour and a half. So,
like they do it with those kids, like those MasterChef Junior. They have those kids cooking in an hour. And I'm like, no way.
Tim, this is a nice bonus. I was not expecting a reality TV background. That's pretty cool. And the cooking shows, I think at least they don't pair you against people or try to tear people down or probably even coach you that much. Maybe just how to be more camera friendly or
there's so many of them now.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, my guest is Tim Sowers. He is obviously a reality TV celebrity. Could you get mobbed? Like you just walked across the street.
I'm
but
just a
tough?
Celebrity anyway.
He is the Chief Artistic Experiences Officer at the Overture Center right across the street here in Madison. You guys have some. Well, you have a beautiful facility. You've got
it's gorgeous. Theater.
It's on. You must just be like, do you walk to work and you walk in every day and go, I get to work here?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that's lovely because it's so big and spacious and beautiful inside is, you know, no cabin fever in the winter.
Yeah.
Really? None.
That's so cool.
I moved here for it.
Did
right.
You?
I moved
Chicago?
Here from Chicago to work here.
To work at the Overture Center.
Yeah.
What? I mean, is this like we have here in Madison, the Overture Center, we have what a lot of really huge cities have, don't we? In a city the size of Madison. Which
when I moved here, I was my supervisor at the time was someone I knew. And she said, I really need you to come to, I originally came to be the director of education. And she said, I really need you to come up here and bring your expertise to us. And I said, I'll come and interview, but I'm not moving to Madison, Wisconsin. Right. And then I walked into this space and I was like, do they know what they have here? Right. Like, you know, and I think at the time it was huge for this town, but now it's not. Now we're packed all the time. We have shows all the time, people all the time. It's really busy.
And a lot of other theaters around, too.
And like, a lot of
I would
other
say
theaters.
Madison has a ton of theaters.
Yeah, it's really doing good. Great.
Let's just talk about March and jump in here. You got the Madison Symphony playing this weekend.
Weekend.
Are there tickets available
for there are tickets for that. And they do, I don't know, 7-8 concerts a year. And very highly respectable. They're searching for their new... conductor right now.
Oh, I am so there.
That is happening.
You think I could do that?
I don't know.
Be honest.
I don't know.
Conrad?
Would you want to do it?
You just got to go like this, right? Is that pretty much
all? I don't know. I don't know.
And I think I could do it in spite of, like, I think they would know not to listen to me. So
and the size of town that for this to have a symphony, right? For Madison to have a symphony
where
that's
I live,
successful?
Yeah, if where I live, if they had a symphony, I could probably fake it for a little while.
Yeah, there you go.
But I wouldn't make probably good money doing it. All right, so that's cool. So there's good. There's tickets available for this weekend. Yep. Madison Symphony is fantastic.
Yeah,
they've been on PBS, right?
Oh, they've been all over. They do this really great Bolts competition where they take where they have young artists, audition and compete to for the best that there is, and that is amazing. They do that in the spring each year.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll be coming up, I think, with them.
Sounds like
anything
you could film. Just turn the camera
anything
on.
Can be
exactly. This could be a reality.
This
show.
Could be a reality.
And then I think, all right, let's jump in. Okay, you have Beautiful Noise,
Neil coming. Diamond.
Neil Diamond, tell us all about that. It's not just his music; it's a story, right? And a whole.
It's really the story. He's kind of looking at his life, and then it goes back into his life from, you know, like. I mean, I grew up with Neil Diamond music, but I was never a diehard fan or anything. But I am now after, like, he wrote so much music before he was even a singer himself.
Right.
So it kind of looks like his whole legacy of songs.
He's just one of those guys, like, for me, I probably in the early 90s, I was like, man, this guy's great. Like, I've been hearing his music my whole life. But same as you, I wasn't, like, going out and buying his records. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's like... Forever in Blue Jeans, Solitary Man, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon.
The show, it's very popular. It had a nice run on Broadway. And I just, you know, one of the things with Broadway is I get all the information, you know, about weekly grosses on Broadway and how the shows are all doing on the road. And that show's only been in the road like 5-6 months and it's already cooped its investment.
Wow.
So now they're in the profit.
How is it selling here?
Great.
Okay.
They're tickets, but it's great. Okay.
So that's this week. Next week. And then the week after, too, right?
No, just one.
Just 1 week.
Just 1 week. We do 8 shows, Tuesday through Sunday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. Get your tickets, folks. All right. And then I think we can get this in before the break. Shamrock Tenors.
I know it. Boys from Ireland. Singing the best there is.
Irish Tenors. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
they're good.
Are they?
Yeah, really good.
I would hope so.
They had this other show called The Choir of Man. That I saw 1 year over at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and brought that show over here a couple years ago. And now they have this new show and it's just these glorious voices.
Oh, it's amazing. I grew up listening to my dad sing. He was an Irish tenor and always sang like, you know, when we go to church, he was doing Ave Maria and all these. So I loved all, the, you know, and he would talk about like when I was a kid, I was listening to rock and roll and all this.
Yeah,
and he would talk about Pavarotti, and I'm just like,
right.
And then I got older, and I developed an appreciation for all that stuff. So he was one of the three tenors, right? Pavarotti, Bobby O'Shea. No, I'm just
I don't even know.
The two other guys, and then the Madison Ballet later in the month, right?
Yep, they're okay. They do great repertoire at Overture Center.
Is that the same group that would have done
the Nutcracker?
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Wow. And that's just March, folks. So if you want to get down to the Overture Center, you can see any one of these shows. They still have tickets available, and they're all phenomenal. If I wanted to see all of these, Tim, like if I had money burning a hole in my pocket, could I get like a month-long pass or something?
No, every show's different.
It's like you just mark the wrist.
Because there's different companies.
Yeah.
Right? Like some are Overture shows. The Symphony is their own show. The Ballet is their show.
Okay.
So it's all different. We have so many people using the building.
Tim Sowers is here from the Overture Center. We're going to come back and maybe talk about a couple more shows. And I'm going to ask Tim what he's watching. He always is very well informed in the way of episodics and movies. We'll do that after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. It's great to have you with me here on Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on.
But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Talking about Wicked.
Wicked.
Tim Sowers is here from the Overture Center right across the street. We're broadcasting live from Madison tonight. Great to have you with me on this beautiful day here in the state of Wisconsin. We were talking about Wicked, Tim. Did you like the movie?
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
I think you know the story.
I do. That's my problem. Like, I didn't. I everybody's like, you haven't watched it? And I was like, I know what happened.
Yeah, I get it.
I'll watch it. It's going to be free now on Peacock this month.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen the stage show, but I like the movie.
Listen, it brought the stage show back on Broadway. Wicked is the number one grossing show again because of that movie. It looked good.
Yeah, it was great.
I'll watch it.
I liked it. I think the fact that it has another part coming out hurt it in the Oscars because it kind of had everything and didn't really
do much.
But what do you have? You said you could tease what's coming up in the way of Broadway shows or what you guys have in
April. Well, Wicked. I mean, Wicked single tickets go on sale this week, Friday.
Okay.
In the summer. And then April 17th, we announce our next season already. And we still have over 30 shows we're announcing, 7 Broadway shows for that.
Nice.
Another real big one coming back to us again.
I know you can't tell me, and that's fine. I've seen Les Mis in 3 different states.
We just had it last.
Oh, did you really?
Season or the season before?
I actually saw it up in Appleton anyway. So.
Yeah,
and it's the same. Group
it's the same. Yeah. Same tour. Still
great.
Going strong.
Phenomenal.
It's a great show. I mean, it's a great. It's going to always be popular.
Will it always tour?
No, what they do usually is like tour it for a few years, take a couple years off, and then say. Brand new tour.
It's coming back. Yeah,
like
right.
Phantom is going back on the road again.
Oh, really?
After, you know, it closed on Broadway after being the longest running show. And this next season will be the first year out of that show.
Okay. Nice. I've never seen that either.
That's been around since the 80s, right?
So was Les Mis, right?
Yeah, late 80s. Yeah.
So, Tim, it's about the time. I need to ask you, is there anything else you want to talk about that's coming to the Overture?
All right. Good. Let's talk about what we're watching.
Let's get to some moving pictures and some color television.
I'm telling you, I need help on what to watch.
Oh, really?
There's nothing out. I'm watching White Lotus. Do you watch White Lotus?
Yes. I just finished season 2, and I'm waiting for season 3 to build up.
Okay, so I'm on that.
Okay. Did you like season 2?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, me too.
Do you like it?
I do.
It's interesting. They're, it's I will say on season 3 though, and I won't give you anything away.
Okay.
Because you watched all season 2.
Yeah.
I miss Jennifer Coolidge.
It's
her
so
character
funny.
Was so crazy and so kind of essential to the show in a lot of ways in both seasons.
Right.
So I kind of miss that presence of her.
Here's my thing with Jennifer. Okay. I loved her too. I love Jennifer Coolidge in general. She's phenomenal.
She's hilarious.
But her death in season 2, this is weird to say, and I took some heat for it from our texters, made me laugh.
And I know
when
it didn't seem real. The way she just plopped over the edge.
Her last words are, "You've got this." And then she goes down head first. You hear
I'm hoping
head?
She's not really dead. That's what I'm hoping. But she probably is.
We've had John Grise on the show, the guy who plays her husband, Uncle Rico, and he's great. And I'm trying to get him back on the show to talk about season 3, but she is missed. I agree. But her death was so funny in a weird way that she makes it. She kills all these guys and saves her fortune, and then she dies anyway. Well, it's been a year.
I think that's right. If you didn't watch it by now, forget
you're not
it.
Exactly. So, but it's a good
but
show.
But the show is quirky in that way. They have that humor that's on that dark comedy that's underneath all of it.
Yep.
Right.
And in season 1, the hotel manager who just kept sticking it to that newlywed guy.
Oh, my God. Hilarious.
It was just Mike White is just such a great writer, and his characters are just
phenomenal. And he was involved in Survivor.
Mike White?
He was on Survivor.
The guy who wrote Orange County, The White Lotuses.
I just saw something on it and I looked him up. And if you look at it, they're filmed very much. He's an older guy.
Yeah.
And he was on a season of Survivor.
Gosh,
see, everybody's
hilarious.
On Survivor.
Except me. I don't like bugs. Have you seen, did you see Black Doves?
No.
That's pretty good. Not what was the actress? Keira Knightley.
Oh, yeah.
And there's another guy in there. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
He's great. I like that. I thought that was
good.
Yeah,
I'm watching nothing.
Like, try it.
There's not much. I'm watching PBS show that's on Amazon called Endeavor. You ever watch
that? Yeah, I've heard of it. I have not seen
it. It's like 9 seasons, and it's a British crime, takes place in the 1960s. Opera music is involved in it.
Oh, wow.
Every episode is 90 minutes, and it's like every episode is like
it's movie. It's a movie,
It's beautifully done.
Endeavor. Okay. I'm going to make a note.
Yeah, that's really excellent. Good. And then movies. I watched some movies.
What have you seen? We got about... What do we have, Conrad? How are we doing?
We talk about
got
the
about
Oscars.
A minute and a half.
Okay, all Oscars. Right.
Yeah. No.
What was that?
Nothing.
Anora? Did you watch Anora?
Yeah. And I didn't get the best picture.
I didn't
thing.
Get that either.
Like, if I had just gone and seen it, I would have liked it. But I'm like, best picture? I don't even think it was as good as Florida Project. I loved Florida Project.
Oh, yeah, I liked Florida Project.
And I liked Anora, but I don't know.
It wasn't best. Brutalist, man. That was a good movie.
Did you like that?
I loved it.
Oh, we got to continue this.
And Conclave. I love Conclave.
I like Conclave, too. I thought that had all the pieces.
I agree.
Love the twist at
I
the
think
end.
That was the best of, the, of yeah. them all to Same. Be the Oscar.
Tim Sowers, ladies and gentlemen, go to the Overture Center. Whatever they have playing, it's phenomenal. It's a beautiful facility. Tim, you're a beautiful guy. Thank
Always
you very much.
Nice to meet you in person.
Yeah,
finally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do like a buddy cop thing. Tim and I are going to start palling around and we'll film it.
Yeah, okay.
We're coming up next. We got comedy next after Civic Media's news team keeps you informed. On the Civic Media Radio Network. And it breaks my heart. For when a teardrop falls, I wanna cry, cry, cry alone. When you're feeling blue, I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for the love.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Krautmiller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The House sends to the Senate a bill that would fund the government through September, averting a partial shutdown. CBS's Nicole Killian says President Trump had a hand in swinging Republicans to vote yes.
He endorsed this bill. He met with members of the Conservative House Freedom Caucus who don't always support these types of short-term funding bills.
The Trump administration says it's lifting its pause on military support and intelligence sharing with Ukraine after Ukrainian officials signal they'd now be open to a 30-day ceasefire with Russia if Russian officials also agree.
Russia has been easier to deal with so far than Ukraine, which is not supposed to be the way it is, but it is, and we hope to get Russia.
A break for some U.S. power customers as Ontario's premier pulls the plug on his 25% electricity surcharge. This after Doug Ford spoke with the U.S. Commerce Secretary.
With any negotiation that we have, there's a point that both parties are heated and the temperature needs to come down.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here.